You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Oh, you guys, it's time.
Is it?
We're kicking off the 3 o'clock hour. Y'all ready?
Unnecessary.
Cinnamon gum!
You put the song in here.
All together now, everyone. Cinnamon gum!
That tells me you think it is necessary.
We really need to get Steve Perry on the show. I'm going to make that my goal. That's going to be my, I'm going
to
manifest
that. I would love
that.
To interview Steve Perry.
That is going to be, well,
I was going to say, fantastic. If I were going to go down the path of trying to get Steve Perry onto this program, I would call you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I did get Melissa Etheridge. I'm just saying. You know, she was a delight. I have Melissa Etheridge's cell phone number in my phone. Isn't that weird?
You're famous.
No, I'm not famous. Hey, question, Scott. I meant to ask you. I know this is like months ago, like 8-9 months ago, but remember when Dana pulled the best prank literally of all time, and she had all of the KMBZ listeners print out photos of you and put them in picture frames and scatter them around
CBS
the metro.
And Walmart. And
I know I did. I put it.
It was brilliant.
6 or 7 of them in the Target in Mission. I wonder if any of those are still around. You know, still just floating around. Just a picture of you just lounging in your loungewear of Loungy McLoungerson.
And we ended. Ended up getting some great edits from listeners of you in a jet. There's a lot of good stuff. I can't imagine picture frames are purchased that often.
Now I kind of want to go into the Target in Mission and see if these 6 or 7, because I did them everything from, you know, 4x6 to 5x7 to 8x10. I did a smattering.
8x10.
I don't know if we're going to have time.
Uh-huh.
Unnecessary. All right. I don't know, Michael. I don't know if they're still around.
Well, I'm gonna need some eagle-eyed viewers or eagle-eyed listeners.
Ongoing negotiations involving media giant Paramount and YouTube TV could black out YouTube TV subscribers from watching more than 20 channels, including KCTV 5.
It's official.
Is it off?
No, it's official that the streaming services have now become no different than
cable companies. But this happens all the time. Dan, you remember when you were at Channel 9 and, you know, Channel 9 would put out a news release saying, Channel 9 may not be available on Time Warner in the next few days if they don't come to terms with us.
Trying
to generate outcry and support for Channel 9.
Phone calls to, yes.
So anyway, national reports say a failure for Paramount and Google to reach a renewal agreement means channels including CBS, Comedy Central, Nickelodeon, and others would no longer be available on YouTube TV starting at 10 o'clock tonight. Okay.
I have a crazy idea, and it's not an original thought of mine, but I'm going to lay it out there. what if we took all of the content from all of these different streaming services and we scheduled them where, like, you know, this show would play at this time and maybe over on this channel, this show would play at this time, and we combine all of them and we sell it as one package. We can call it cable.
All right, the Royals have unveiled their new slogan for the 2025 season. Now, in the past, it's been things like, you got to love these guys. This is hardball. Get in the game. The new slogan for the Royals for the new season. Drum roll, anyone? Fountains up.
Ooh. Oh.
Oh. Okay. Well.
That landed like a dud. Ooh. Oh.
Oh. Oh.
Fountains up.
It's not bad.
Little love for the home city.
We love our fountains here in Kansas City, second most in the world.
Second nothing only to
Sevilla, Spain.
No.
Rome?
Rome.
Rome.
If There's you want nothing to. Like bellying up to a water fountain when you're thirsty. So, fountains up.
I don't think that's what they were referencing.
I don't think you're supposed to drink out of a fountain like that.
Well, a water fountain.
They're not talking about send a water out fountain.
A fun little promotional package to the radio station here. Dana took it. But I found out from somebody else who showed me what came in it that they sent out a little bottle of fountain water, although it specifically says, do not drink. It came from the fountains at Kauffman.
Oh.
Well, that, okay. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Not clean.
Not portable. What
potable.
Is the what
potable.
Is potable.
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 Potable. Potable.
They it's potable. Dirty water.
Oh my gosh. Are you kidding me?
Have you been saying potable all these years?
I have.
Most people have because that's what we all used to think it was.
Mm. Sam, ooh, what is the computer what does the computer ooh. Say?
Potable. Potable.
Okay, hang on, Dan.
But
potable.
Potable.
It's potable.
Potable.
No.
Potable.
She can't go any slower than that. That's the slowest she'll go.
Potable.
I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but that's British. Put it in the American.
This is the British. Here's the British.
Potable.
Potable.
Huh.
And American?
Potable.
Thank you.
Thank you, John Grayson. This just broke on News Nation. The infamous killer who terrorized London women has largely been referred to as simply Jack the Ripper. Until now. Historian Russell Edwards says he has identified Jack the Ripper as Aaron Kosminski through a DNA match of a shawl found at the scene of one of his murders.
We thought it might be.
Kosminski was a Polish immigrant who came to England in 1881 alongside his brother. He became a barber in London. Edwards telling the Today Show in Australia that he came to purchase the shawl in 2007 after it was purported to be at the scene of the murder of Catherine Eddowes. Kosminski, who was aged 23 at the time of the murders, has long been considered a suspect. He had schizophrenia and was in a mental asylum at the time of his death in 1919.
Hmm.
Thanks to Kosminski's oldest brother's great-great-granddaughter, the revelation was made after they provided a DNA sample.
Hmm.
Jack the Ripper has lived in infamy and lore for more than a century after he committed the murders of at least five women in Whitechapel, England, between August and November of 1888. Police never found Jack the Ripper, who was also referred to as the Whitechapel Murderer and the Leather Apron.
Hmm?
He was infamous for slitting the throat of his victims before removing their organs.
Okay.
Some of the victims were thought to be prostitutes, but there's little evidence to support that.
Hmm.
According to the Daily Mail, Edwards has hired a legal team to help gain an inquest after he found what he calls a 100% DNA match.
Not 99%, 100.
Hmm.
Now if only they could find who killed John Benet.
Hmm.
That ain't never going to happen. That's going to be a deathbed confession.
Also, what's the latest with the Utah... There was a big breaking thing...
You mean Idaho?
That's what I said.
So we brought that up yesterday. I read through the whole story.
I need the 25-word or less version. What is it?
Here it is.
Nothing.
Nothing burger.
Yeah. Big old nothing burger. The lawyers put out a big press release saying there's some new groundbreaking evidence that is going to force them to declare a mistrial and drop the case, which, by the way, in a weird roundabout way, to me, just me personally, admits guilt. But that's beside the point. Their groundbreaking evidence, which the prosecutors have already stated is not groundbreaking because it's already been presented, is that there were two other blood samples inside the home that they have not been able to identify. How that is somehow proving Koberger's innocence,
Didn't they find a sheath?
A knife sheath, yeah, which had his DNA all over it.
Hello.
Yeah. So if their argument is, he may have done it, but he didn't do it alone, and this is a mistrial because you failed to put this evidence into the system, they put the evidence in the system.
Not only did they find a sheath with his DNA on it, his phone pinged in the area multiple times.
That is correct.
Well, then what was the, you know, the bombshell wasn't really a bombshell.
Correct.
But every
lawyers do this thing. It's a PR game. We're going to leak this massive new breaking thing as a way to try to sway public opinion, because literally anybody and everybody in this country assumes that Koberger was the guy.
Every headline had bombshell new material.
What you're looking for is a jury pool to be
forgiving,
brought in, well, or they say
tainted.
That's exactly right. They're trying to taint the jury pool so that they can't get a jury to hear the case.
Can they declare a mistrial after the trial based on their own tainting of the jury pool? Whoa.
Head exploded.
I just had a little mini stroke there. What?
Me too.
913-586.
Starting a fire. Gonna need some potable water.
That's right. We need potable water for that fire, Dan. Potable. That's right. Do you use potable water in your coffee?
No.
No.
I use,
You use non-potable water?
No, I'm using potable water. Yes. I got confused.
When you go to Mexico in the bathrooms, they say sink water is not potable.
Mm-hmm.
Potable.
Potable. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. A story here. Don't be surprised if you get a message the next time you're on Google saying you're too young to view some search results. It would be because their AI thinks you're a child. Starting this week, Google is using a form of machine learning to determine whether someone is under the age of 18 by monitoring their web history and the videos they watch on YouTube. Sure, it's kind of creepy, but Google says it'll provide more age-appropriate searches for kids. If they get it wrong, they can forget about this. You can send them a selfie with some government ID to unlock all the results.
This is going to stick around for a week. It's a CYA. Other institutions or internet companies, whatever, are getting sued, Instagram in particular, because they are feeding content to underaged users that is not safe for those users to be viewing. There's a lot of stuff on Instagram that you would think would violate Instagram's content policies. And it violates the eyeballs, but it certainly doesn't violate their policies. And 13-year-olds are getting a hold of this stuff, and it's having a very, very negative impact.
Well, how about you be a parent and be better at monitoring your kids' searches on the internet?
That's just not how it works these days. They give their kids iPhones in the first grade, and kids are very smart.
Then it's off to the races.
Yeah, they will figure out how to look up whatever they want to look up. You can put as many restrictions on there that you want to put on there. They will find a way to get around
it. And how does one take a selfie with my passport or my driver's license and then send it? I'm assuming they have a phone number that I'm supposed to send it to or email it to?
It would probably just be a link once that warning pops up saying you're too young. Click on the link to override the warning or whatever.
And how can you verify if I'm 13 years old and my cool 19-year-old brother took the selfie for me?
Oh, the first thing that I would do is, take a picture of my parent, go and find their ID, take a picture of their ID, Photoshop them together, and then upload that picture as the selfie. Just got around it. Sorry, parents who are trying to protect their kids from things on the internet.
Parents who are trying to protect their kids actually do things.
Well, that's true. They don't allow them to have free range use of the internet. I was one of those kids that probably should not have had free range use of the internet.
Back to Yahoo.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Well, and what if you're a parent who has, you know, an infant, and so you use, and I don't condone this practice either, but you use the tablet as the babysitter. So you watch a lot of Bluey on your YouTube app. Mm-hmm. YouTube is tied to Google. So now as an adult, since you let your kid watch Bluey on your account, you can't Google anything that's not safe for an infant?
From the text line, do you know how the internet at all the schools only allows you to do certain things? Yeah, my son has bypassed all that. Well, it's like Ferris Bueller.
You should be proud.
I did that too.
Oh, kids today.
I was a great kid.
I am so glad that I grew up in the era that I did. And we had to stand by grown men at the PX at Fort whatever, pretending to read a comic book while we looked over their shoulder as they were looking through Penthouse. That's how I saw a woman.
All right, well.
From the text line, judgy much? I mean, do whatever you want to do, but there are studies showing that that's not great.
A possum was treated at a Nebraska animal hospital after wandering into a family's backyard and gorging itself on an entire chocolate mousse cake from Costco. Kim Doggett said the cake had been placed on a table in her backyard because she ran out of room in the fridge. So she was going to let the outdoors cool it for her, keep it cool. Somehow the possum got there. The possum was not moving and appeared to be panting. Now, before I hear about it on the text line, Scott, why do you keep calling it a possum? It's an opossum. That is false. And I have done my research on this.
I did not know that.
There are two separate kinds of animals that resemble the possum opossum.
The possum opossum.
Both are rodents.
Correct. If they are found in Australia, they are called opossums.
Australia, opossum.
If they are found in the United States, hiding by a tree in my backyard, eating ticks, they are called possums.
Or chocolate cake, not just ticks.
Now, this possum did take the internet by storm, with everyone saying he was their spirit animal. Because who doesn't want to eat a whole chocolate cake? Well, not Michael. We've learned that chocolate's not your thing.
ABC, anything but chocolate.
I'm only reading this because it is so ridiculously stupid, and Sam put it in the stack, so apparently he wants me to read it. You know that a person in the United States wants to acquire Greenland.
The joke has been made, yes.
Yes. A Republican congressman from Georgia has introduced a bill in the U.S. House that would change the name of Greenland, a la the Gulf of Mexico, to the Gulf of America, that would change the name of Greenland to Red, White, and Blueland. Moving on.
Dumb. Sorry, I was off key there. I'll try that again.
Do that again, please.
Dumb.
A little off key.
A little flat. How did you find that nugget?
It was one of the top stories on one of your major news outlets because for whatever reason, we have decided that we are going to focus on every single useless bill that is proposed.
All right.
I don't know why we do that, because we've never done that in the history of America.
Oh, yes, we have.
Okay. Well, for whatever reason, we are really just focusing on things that are never going to happen.
Focus!
Waste the paper to write the bill? I already know the answer, but that's a rhetorical question.
What else do you have?
Okay.
Good talk.
The Lenexa Police Department is investigating a double homicide yesterday morning after officers found two women dead while responding to a welfare check. This is in Lenexa, 90th Street, just west of Lackman. They were found at 5 o'clock in the morning after someone called 911 to report that the victims may have been shot. Officers found two women who they believe are related, took a man into custody, who is also believed to be related to the victims. Court documents filed yesterday say that Luke Howard killed his mother, Valerie, and his aunt, Joyce, at their home in Lenexa. He turned himself into police after telling pharmacists at a Walgreens in Liberty, who then called police. He just walked into a random Walgreens and said, I killed my mom and aunt?
Yeah, I'll take some of that itch cream. I killed my mom and my aunt.
He had blood on his clothes, admitted to Liberty Police that he had killed his mom and his aunt because they had evicted him from the house. He had had previous encounters with law enforcement in the days prior to the shooting. He claimed that his mother grabbed him by the neck and pushed him.
That does not justify shooting them, sir.
No, it does not. Okay. Well, he's going to prison for the rest of his life, most likely. His mom had given him a 30-day eviction notice, and he was upset, and he yelled at her.
That was very generous of the mom.
Okay. All right. Quick break. That guy over there is Michael Mackey.
Hello.
Over there
Shalom.
Is Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks, here on KMBZ. We have an update, ladies and gentlemen. Astronomers are enlisting the help of NASA's James Webb Space Telescope to study an asteroid that has a slight chance of striking Earth less than 8 years from now. Characterized as a potential city killer, the asteroid was first detected in December, and its odds of impacting our planet have increased slightly since then.
More than doubled from 1 to 2.
The space rock is formally named 2024 YR4. Scientists say it currently carries a 2% risk, and you're right, Sam. That is up from the original estimate of 1%.
That sounds ominous.
It is roughly 130 to 295 feet wide. Okay.
This makes me want to go and watch your favorite movie of all time.
Armageddon.
Armageddon.
It is a fantastic movie.
It has received a level 3 rating out of 10 on the Torino Impact Hazard Scale, which is a fairly rare distinction meant to represent a close encounter that warrants public and scientific attention. We reported yesterday that a scientist who specializes in that kind of stuff.
Dangerous asteroids.
That we can't understand.
Okay.
Says it is too late. We have passed the line where we could, if it were to hit the Earth, we have passed that line where we could knock it off its trajectory.
When?
2032.
Okay, so the countdown is on, people. Get your affairs in order.
Mm-hmm. Now, we, much like in the movie Armageddon, if there were a true risk, they wouldn't tell anybody. That's true. I have to believe that with all of my being. But on the off chance that they were honest with the American people, and they did say...
Who's they would not tell us before you continue?
The government.
Well, these are not government. These are just independent scientists.
Well, but they would be dismissed as crackpots.
Wouldn't it be a dereliction of duty not to tell us that it was going to hit the Earth?
If it were to cause mass panic?
Well, it probably would. But they could do the math. These guys are smart. I mean, listen, they hit an asteroid with a ship the size of a refrigerator.
They did.
Last year or the year before, I can't remember. So they can figure, they do math at a level that we can't even comprehend.
Of course.
So they would be able to tell us exactly when and exactly where that asteroid was going to hit. You could then evacuate the people in advance. Right.
I love your heart, but that would never happen. But if it were to happen and you knew that we were all going to die.
Yeah. Well, no. This is not an Earth killer. It would be a city killer. So that it's only about the size of a football field. This asteroid 2024 YR4 is only the size of a football field. They said the story says if it hit the Earth, it would destroy a city if it hit a city.
Right.
You know, granted, 70% of the Earth's surface is water. Chances are it would land in an ocean somewhere. But if it did happen to land on land, if it did hit a city, it would destroy a city.
What was that movie with Jennifer Lawrence last year about?
Don't Look Up.
Don't Look Up.
By the way, yeah, a whole movie about them not telling you about it.
By the way, that movie was fantastic.
Very funny. If you were, if imminent death was coming and you had the option, say the asteroid were coming for Kansas City.
All right.
And you had the option to either flee or live out the rest of your days with the knowledge that tomorrow at noon, you're done. What are you doing?
Well, selling my house at that point would become impossible.
Yeah.
Nobody's buying it. It's going up in flames tomorrow at noon. I would probably gather those that I care the most about, and the things that I care the most about or would need, birth certificate, Social Security card, Thin Lizzy CDs.
Of course.
And
Kiss collection.
Kiss records that are framed in my closet.
A coconut cake from Jasper's. Yeah.
Perhaps.
Priorities.
And I would then, you know, photo albums, stuff like that. And then I would just drive either east or west on I-70 and just park and wait.
I've always loved the lawn chair idea.
Now, that would be if there was... my lawn chair idea is only if there is a nuclear attack on the United States and we know that there's no way to escape. Because if the Russians were to, and this is the one reason AI scares me the hell out of me, is the fake nuclear launch from Russia.
Been talking about it for years.
Yeah. And I know we have these, you know, these red hotlines between each other that are, you know, if it rings, you know it's Moscow calling. Well, if they were really launching a nuclear missile at the United States, and we said, hey, we got it on radar that you guys are sending a missile our way, what would the Russians say?
Nyet.
No. No.
Nyet.
And then in 24 minutes, we're all fried. Now, if we knew that nuclear missiles were headed for the United States, I would grab a lawn chair, a non-alcoholic beer, and I would sit in my driveway and watch the show.
That's what I would do. Well, because in the reality, if there were an impending asteroid that was going to take out Kansas City, it would be incredibly tough to get out of the city. I mean, we see the traffic jams from evacuations from the devastation that we saw in Southern California.
Yeah. I wouldn't wait until the last minute. I would probably leave like a month before.
Well, collecting those CDs is tough.
Well, God made boxes and
Mackie,
he sells them in IV.
I would order DoorDash and I would pay extra for super speedy service because you only have 24 minutes. So just saying.
That's what you would do.
No, I'm kidding. No, if I only had 24 minutes, I don't know what I'd do. That's a good question. I'd probably put on the most soothing, calming thing I could possibly, like music-wise. And then, I don't know, just wait patiently for the end. The end is near.
And if it does land in the ocean, and again, we're only talking about a 2% chance at 8 years from now, 7 years from now, it probably would create a tsunami.
But those chances have already... Well, what do you care? You live in Kansas City.
If a tsunami hits Kansas City, it's a bad day.
That is true.
I think the chances of a tsunami hitting Kansas City are low.
That is big wave.
But not zero.
No, I think it's zero.
I don't know. It'd be a pretty big wave.
It would have to land in like the Mississippi River. And we might get a drop.
Blink.
A tsunami. Do you guys want to play a game today?
Yes.
What game you want to play?
Mixtape.
You want to play mixtape?
Yes, because we haven't done it for a while. And because
I'm... Fine by me.
You hate Family Feud.
No, it's not that I hate it.
Just you suck at it.
No, it's not. I just don't want to show you guys up. I'm feeling really...
I think you only have once.
Well, Twice.
You want to play mixtape? What time you want to play?
4:15? Question mark.
I'm going to add a topic. What song plays as a nuclear missile lands on Kansas City?
Mm.
Oh, okay. All right.
Love it.
All right. That's cool.
What song are you playing?
And let's by go 4:45.
Okay. Now wait a minute.
Okay. In an hour.
Hold up. REM's "End of the World as I Know" or "As We Know It" and "I Feel Fine" is barred from consideration.
Son of a. Fine.
Oh, I already know what I'm doing.
I do too.
Okay. But you cannot play "End of the World as We Know
It's
It" and "I Feel Fine."
The end of the world as we know it.
Uh-huh.
I feel fried.
913-586.
Now that's some potable water.
7798.
Potable.
Okay, I've got the categories for mixtape an hour from now.
Okay, categories are...
You ready? Write them down in this order.
Right. Impending nuclear doom.
A nuclear missile has been launched toward Kansas City. You get out your lawn chair. You sit in your driveway.
Okay.
What song plays in the background? Number two. You just figured out that you have the most amazing dance moves. Dot, dot, dot. Number three, you're cleaning out your closet only to find a box of high school memorabilia. There is a single, CD, or album covered in dust. It's your favorite from that time. Play a song from that CD.
From high school?
Or album. It says high school memorabilia.
Okay.
And it doesn't say senior year. It could be any year.
All right.
All right.
All right.
Your favorite song from that year.
All right.
And it's been covered in dust, so you couldn't have liked it that much.
All right.
Okay. Story here from Channel 5. You all remember on April 13th, 2023, a Northland teenager was shot after he mistakenly rang a doorbell at the wrong home to pick up his brothers. Now, nearly 2 years later, it appears the criminal case against the shooter will conclude tomorrow. The Clay County Prosecutor's Office announcing that 86-year-old Andrew Lester will appear in court for a hearing tomorrow afternoon. His trial was set to start next Tuesday. I'm assuming this is a plea deal.
Yeah, I mean, you don't exactly... I can't think of any other reason why they would have an emergency hearing 5 days before the trial was officially supposed to start, nearly two years mm-hmm. after the incident occurred. And they've already scheduled a press conference.
Which is going to start roughly at the start of the show tomorrow. Yeah,
we will air that.
Yep. Lester was charged with first-degree assault and armed criminal action for shooting Ralph Jarl in the head and right arm. The shooting quickly drew national concern, public outcry, including from then Vice President Kamala Harris, Bernice King, and Halle Berry. Lester has pleaded not guilty to armed criminal action and first-degree assault. He remains free on a $200,000 bond.
This thing has taken 2 years mm-hmm. to get to this point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were some questions, a couple of delays. The attorneys for Lester had filed concerns that he was not fit to stand trial due to his age. They cited some memory issues. They stated that when they would talk to him about very important details of the case, he was not remembering what happened. They tested that, and they came to the conclusion that he is fit to stand trial. The way that I read that is that it was kind of a last-ditch effort, and now we're assuming tomorrow that we're going to have some sort of plea announcement.
And news conference roughly at 2 o'clock, and we will carry it live here on KMBZ. It is official. The New York Jets say Aaron Rodgers will not be back next season.
He is out of here.
Now, they already said that, and now it's official?
Now it's official.
Okay.
That is correct. They released a statement this morning saying that they have decided to go in a, quote, different direction with the quarterback position. Number one thought is that Russell Wilson will be leaving the Pittsburgh Steelers and going to the New York Jets. From ABC News.
Okay.
Wait, where's Aaron Rodgers going to end up? Any guesses?
Retirement?
I think that he should go ahead and retire.
Okay.
And then go live in a cabin in Oregon for 40
with
days.
No lights.
While he tries to gather himself. He's gone. I almost said a bad word.
I mean,
he's gone full blown weird.
Word.
He's an odd duck. To each their own.
I know.
You ever done peyote?
No, never even seen it.
Wouldn't know what it would do to you.
Joanne, the fabrics and crafts retailer, has a store right down the street here on Shawnee Mission Parkway, is shutting down 500 of its 800 stores nationwide. As part of its bankruptcy proceedings, the company filed a motion in court seeking approval to begin closing roughly 500 locations.
They filed bankruptcy in January, the second time that they have filed bankruptcy in the last calendar year. There are a total of eight locations in the surrounds, including Topeka, St. Joseph, Lawrence.
What's Toast
I believe
here?
Four of them are closing. Belton, here? Independence.
What about the one over here in
Lawrence,
Shawnee?
Shawnee is safe. Overland Park is safe.
Phew.
That's where I got, when I was in Almost Kiss, we had to dress up like the actual character we played, and which included a lot of spandex and fake fur and makeup, but you also had to bedazzle your outfit. It's the only time I've ever been in a Joann's, was to get my glue and my bedazzling medallions.
I mean, I get that they became the big box store for crafters, and that's kind of their thing. But from what I understand, most of their sales are online anyway. So why are we still trying to keep the big box stores afloat?
Because most people who do crafting are like 80?
Yeah, I guess. I go to the parking lot adjacent to a Joann's every single day. There's not a lot of cars in that lot.
Bedazzling is an art, Sam.
But you go to the gym at like 8 in the morning.
Not a lot of cars in that lot. I don't know what it looks like at noon.
I mean, if I'm going to get my crafting on, I'm doing that at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon because I'm retired and Young and the Restless just ended.
Wow.
Yeah. Am I wrong?
Kind of sad. I think that it's going to be the demise of most big box stores over time.
Well, that has been a fear of mine, and I'm being serious for a second. That has always been a fear of mine, is that online shopping is going, and it's not the first time I've said it on this show, is going to kill the brick-and-mortar stores. Kill it.
From the text line, I'm not 80. The store in Independence is always busy. Okay,
yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
7669, you tell them.
I think some 70-year-olds go to Joann's. Not a
Keeps
lot.
On digging. You like that shovel.
I do.
When in doubt, bedazzle it out. That's been motto.
All right, Michael Mackey filling in today for Dana Wright. She is back on Monday. That guy over there is Sam Stevie. My name is Scott. Dan has the news coming up in 2 minutes. Don't forget, tomorrow, 5 o'clock, we do Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances. It is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com. News coming up in 2 minutes.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.